Hello all and welcome to the Answer is Elephant podcast. I am your host, Carla Turner. On this podcast, I will be interviewing people who have been inspiring me in my wellness journey, and in hopes that through their words and stories, you may also be inspired to create positive changes in your day-to-day life, changes that will affect your personal life, the people around you, and our communities. Each episode will have its own topic depending on who I am interviewing that day. Let's start connecting and growing our wellness tribe. Welcome back, friends. I am joined today by a lovely lady, Diane Johnson. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited.
I'm excited. I think we met, what, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago?
I think so.
Something like
really
that.
Really, pretty randomly, just walked in. I'm like, I need a smoothie.
Yeah.
Today. And then I saw your bulletin board and I saw your poster.
Yeah.
And I had seen it so many days at Colossi's and kind of always looked at it and I was like, whoa, I should check that out. And then there you were. So it was all meant to be, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful. So what do you do?
So I run my own business as a wellness consultant, which encompasses holistic nutrition. I do lifestyle, like holistic lifestyle and mindset coaching. I've worked with essential oils for a long time. And really all just trying to help people live in greater health, wealth, and joy. That's awesome. My little tagline.
Perfect. You kind of touch on a little bit of everything there.
Well, it's all stuff that I have found a lot of value in my life.
Yeah.
And you know, through, I think, for me anyway, the places that I feel I can serve the best are where I've lived and experienced and kind of journeyed the path, you know? So
yeah.
Those are the things that have all made big differences in my life. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
So I guess my introduction really into kind of like a wellness lifestyle would have been when I was in my early 20s and I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. And I was, by the time the medical system, I was actually diagnosed, I was pretty sick. So I was like in the hospital for a month. I was just, you know, basically tube fed because my insides, quote, they just said looked like chopped liver. And it was, they weren't sure if at that time that they would have to operate on me because of how sick I was, but I managed to pull through that. But the medication of course was prednisone, which healed my ulcers, but just had just a host of really unpleasant side effects. And I found that as I tried to taper off medications, I would just get sick again. So I was on this kind of roller coaster of feeling better, coming off medication, then I would get sick, and then back on the prednisone, like maximum dose, feeling all the nasty side effects. And at 21, I was just like, I cannot live like this forever, like the rest of my life, kind of, you know, like,
yeah,
what is this going to look like?
It's not good to, well, I don't think it's not good to have our bodies dependent on anything.
Yeah.
Like good or bad things. Like,
yeah.
It healed you, but yet there's bad side effects.
Totally. So I just kind of started looking for options.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate at that point in my life. I was working at a backcountry lodge in the mountains called Lake O'Hara. And so I was just immersed in this really natural environment. And so everything I was reading was kind of fitting into that space, right? So when I came home from the summer, I made an appointment with a naturopathic doctor. And it was immediately just looking at everything in my life. Lots about food, figured out I had a lot of food sensitivities, but also talking about stress and like what stressful things had happened in my life prior to getting so sick. And I was just like, whoa, like all of this is impacting where I'm at right now. Like the light bulbs kind of starting to go on for the young me, right?
Yeah.
So I just dove in because I was just at a point where I was not going to stay sick.
Yeah.
And as soon as I made those changes with food, it was probably about 2 weeks, I started to taper off of the meds and I was able to taper all the way off.
Wow.
So,
and not have the sickness.
So I was like 11 years I lived with colitis and had periods of I did still flare, and I did still have to go back on prednisone. Mm-hmm. But coming back to that sort of holistic approach, reassessing what I needed to change in my diet, if I needed some supplements, if I was deficient in something, stress was a big one.
Yeah.
It always came back to that. And regardless of if I was immediately cured or feeling better, you know, physically better, mm-hmm. I felt emotionally and mentally better every time I came out of that space where, you know, the whole person of me, the whole part of me was addressed.
Yeah.
And listened to and supported. And so I think that was, you know, those times were where I sort of kind of was like, this just feels in such alignment with me. Yeah. And how I want to be treated and live and think about my life. And so, yeah. So fast forward, you know, however many years do I want to go there? Yeah, I did actually end up having my large intestine removed. So okay. I came to a point where I felt I had just tried everything and wasn't able to maintain my job. Yeah, just in and out of being sick and working really hard to get healthy and getting sick again. And so eventually I felt I was at a place where it was okay, mm-hmm. that I had explored, that I could let go
right.
enough and just ask for whatever other support there was in the universe for me if I made this choice. And 3 months after that surgery, I was pregnant. So
wow.
It was like, yeah, my whole world just shifted with the scariest decision that I ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, it was kind of a crazy, long-winded story, but definitely has impacted where I am today and just yeah. how I live.
So did you have difficulties in the pregnancies at all because of this?
I didn't.
Did they think you were going to?
Yeah. Well, so the other crazy thing was, so when I had that surgery, we were planning our wedding. So it was June of 2011. I got married in August and was discovered I was pregnant like early October. September, October. But we were leaving to go to Australia. We had planned our honeymoon. So we were going to Australia for 3 months to live in a van and drive around. And so decided to still do that, knowing that I would have an ostomy, was going to be able to manage that. And then we were literally, our house was like fully packed. We had people that were going to come to live in our house. All our stuff was in the basement in storage. They were going to rent it out. And it was like, we were putting the last pieces away. And I came out of the bathroom and I was like, so I'm pregnant. And he was like, take the test again. It was the craziest surprise.
Gosh.
So I didn't even see a doctor until we were in Australia. 3 months post-surgery with a stoma, not knowing anything really about any of this and how it was all gonna, but it was, I actually decided to take, I was a yoga teacher, but was doing a lot of it then. And so I took a yoga teacher training in prenatal yoga while I was down there. And it was the most empowering thing, considering everything that I was facing at that time and just some uncertainties, as you know, we do in all pregnancies, but it was just like your body knows what to do. And, I actually probably wouldn't have had it any other way, but, it's kind of, so in terms of difficulties though, no, I had a normal pregnancy. I had a scheduled cesarean section, just to avoid any complications with my internal workings being a little bit different.
Yeah.
And she's 9 now. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a bit of a, you know, when they joke about things like, you know, you should only do like major life events, like one at a time, right? So you can sort of process and go through everything. And it just like all happened at once.
Yeah. You're like, no, I got this. It'll be fine.
We're just going full bore here.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So yeah. And then I have a son as well, who's just turned 6. And I've been really fortunate. Like I know, I still do some work with a group for people that have had the surgery that have what's called a J pouch or like an internal pouch in their intestine. And I sometimes wonder, I'm like, how did I get so lucky? Like, a lot of people have complications, right? There are things, I've had a couple of blockages that I've had to go to the hospital for, but typically they've passed, and really, like, just so blessed in terms of how things have turned out. But
yeah,
I do believe a lot of it was, you know, the work that I did. I don't want to call it work. It's not the word that I like to use, but I chose to make that, like, living healthfully, reducing my stress, even leaving my teaching career. I was a high school teacher. I chose to step back from that so that I could step more into a career that aligned with how I wanted to live. And I think all of that has really played a part in how I can live now, just healthfully. So
that's awesome. So you have to watch your diet pretty good simply because of this then.
I look at it. So actually in terms of how I ate when I was dealing with ulcerative colitis, because technically now I've been cured, right? I had this surgery. So they take out your whole large intestine and that's where ulcerative colitis exists. So
yeah.
I've been cured, but my diet was so restrictive then. It's actually I have a lot more freedom now. There's still things that I, like wheat was never something that sat well with me, neither was dairy. I do eat them now occasionally, but I just try to moderate, you know, how frequently that happens and that kind of thing. But the funny thing was that after my, I don't want to say this the wrong way. So when I finished my, I was just finishing a certification in holistic nutrition when I decided to have the surgery. And if you've spent any time in our hospitals, you know, the food is like, I was coming out of surgery and they want you actually to eat quite quickly after. It was like within the next day I had food in front of me, but it was Jell-O and there were mashed potatoes, there was chicken, there was something else. And I was just shocked. Like, I'm like, no, I can't eat this. So I was, but what they wanted me to eat was things like applesauce and white bread and white rice, because it's so plain, there's not a lot of fiber, it would move easily through as my body was healing. So I understood that, but I also understood from being immersed in just everything, learning everything about the benefits of whole good quality foods,
yes,
that my body is not going to heal if I feed it white foods.
And
so if anyone is listening that is going through this, definitely follow the advice of your doctors. But I think too, we need to trust in like what nature has provided us with and the healing.
Yes.
The healing that comes from good quality food. So I didn't eat the white bread and the white rice. And I probably had more fiber than I should have, because I did have a bit of pain after that. They weren't really sure why. When I think back now, I'm like, it was probably just pretty rough for you at that point in time. But I was like, you need the nutrients. You must have good quality food. So I would do things like I would steam everything, and then I use my Vitamix and blend it all up.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I would have my vegetables in the form of basically like a soup.
Yeah.
But I was still not eating a lot of the things that they told me I should have been eating.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, now I have a fairly fibrous diet.
Yes.
And that isn't necessarily something that is recommended. I do eat nuts. That isn't really recommended. I don't know. But it felt, I do work a lot based off what feels right. Mm-hmm. So to speak, in my gut, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's my intuition or whatever that is. And those foods feel best.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
We can definitely tell, as long as we're listening to our bodies, we can definitely tell what foods do and don't work for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be different for everybody, even if they've had the exact same surgery.
That's so true.
You know, you sitting next to somebody else is you're probably still going to have a little, you know, different diet and different foods that affect you differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember too, talking to people even when I had colitis, and we'd be like, you know, comparing symptoms or like what sets you off or what causes a flare. And it was always so different.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, how do we even have the same disease? Like, it does not sound the same, you know? So yeah, that's such a good point that you make, that it's just so, it's so individual. We are all so unique.
Yeah.
You know, so what works for me, not necessarily going to work for the next person, but
no.
I think I managed to figure out what works for me. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, and it's definitely nice because there's always going to be, you know, at least some similarities between different things. I think just not all. So hearing somebody else go through that, maybe there's somebody sitting there saying, I can't eat this white stuff. And, oh, okay, maybe I could have a little bit here or there. Not that you shouldn't take the advice of your doctor. Please do that. But,
yes.
You know, at least further down the road, mm-hmm. kind of thing, that, you know, life can get back to semi-normalness.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so much, like, so much good stuff, so much abundance. It all just kind of, like, dropped in after this, like, super scary time in my life. And I'm, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Well, it's nice when some good things can come out of bad situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And so doing the work that I do, you know, I feel like that's some place that I can sort of serve from, because I've walked it and I've studied it, you know, for my own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But just really honoring that it's such an individual
mm-hmm.
process and journey
for
everyone. One of my, right before I had that surgery, I went to see a naturopath that was actually teaching some of the classes I was taking, and totally, like, full respect for him, learned so much from him. But when I asked him if I should have this, like, I said, at what point do I consider this surgery as an option? Because nothing is working.
Yeah.
And he just told me I should never consider it, ever. You never consider the surgery. And I was like, what? But that's not the philosophy of what we've been learning, right? Like, how it may not be the natural solution, like the natural way, but how can you say it isn't something that might be a solution for me just because, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's always something I've kept in my mind when I'm working with clients or whatever. It's just really that, like, this is your journey and this will work. Maybe it'll work for you. Maybe it won't. Let's figure out what does. And this other person, this is their journey and we get to figure out what works for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So how many different courses in that? Certificates, what do you have?
I don't know. I studied yoga. I became a yoga teacher. I did the prenatal program. Holistic nutrition was the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied that. And initially, I just really got into that for myself because nutrition had made such a difference. I wanted to know more and I wanted to understand. And I have taken some Reiki training, although I haven't really used it. It's something I more kind of use just in my day, but it keeps popping up for me. So I'm like, I'm going to have to go back to that. and I think I value the training I had when I, like, as a teacher, right? Just right. that I think, you know, I value the relationships that I get to make with people while I'm teaching or coaching or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's more, but I've done training in essential oils too. I guess I should throw that in there. I like to kind of weave those into the programs that I do offer for people because I think they're just such a beautiful, natural way of, you know, whether it's managing an ailment or the mind and the mood, right? The emotions are such a beautiful support for that too, which is such a big piece of our wellness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I love oils. They can do wonderful things.
Make me happy.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. I actually have one of my ladies. I can't remember which oil it is now. One of the oils. It's her favorite, and she calls it her happy pill.
Yeah.
And I have another person who another friend who's on antidepressants and she calls them her happy pills. So it's just like, again, that total different people, you know, things that work for each person.
Yeah.
It doesn't make either of them right or wrong.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
But yeah, oils are, play a wonderful role in wellness.
Yeah. They're a nice support for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So what would coaching look like with you?
I have a one-on-one program that I really, it's kind of what I'm really excited about right now. You know, things kind of like, ooh, I'm like really into this and ooh, I'm really into that. Right now I'm like, I really am enjoying the one-on-one coaching container just because you get to, it's again, that like you talked about when we started the connection piece, right? Like I love getting to know people and seeing the shifts that they get to make. So anyways, within that, I sort of pull in all these elements of wellness that have been such a big part of my life. So we do look at the nutritional stuff because I just believe that really we can have such a powerful impact on our health.
Right.
Just based on what we fuel ourselves with every day, right? And those are the nutrients in our body that are doing the jobs, whether that's, you know, muscular function or how we're feeling emotionally or digestive function. Like it touches everything. Mm-hmm. So we do that. I've taken, there's another training I can just remember off the top of my head. Some like mindfulness meditation training. I believe those are valuable tools. And a lot of people are just like, well, my mind is too busy. I can't sit still. And so I just see those as opportunities that, you know, we can learn something new. So I like to share that in my program. And I think they also just really help us to access a different level of awareness of ourselves 100%. And the things that are going on around us and how we receive and perceive the things that are happening in our life. And then it's a lot of too, just, I believe it was Lindsay Mack, and I was listening to a call that she was leading one day about sort of a similar conversation about coaching. And she said something about sometimes you can't read the ingredients from the inside of the jar. And I just thought that is like the best analogy. So, you know, one thing that I know was a part of my journey with health and wellness is just the beliefs. The beliefs that I have under the surface of who I am and how the world works and where I fit into that.
Yeah.
And we can't always see that for ourselves, right? Sometimes we need that just trusted guidance, support, to help us sort of bring that stuff to a place where we can see it.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think that's something that I get to do within that container. Mm-hmm. That doesn't just happen if I'm just doing a nutritional consult with someone, because usually if people come to see me for nutrition, they like, not everyone, but a lot of times it's, oh, I want to lose weight, or I have this ailment, I want to try to address it through nutrition. But there's always a belief component, right? That's our operating system. Mm-hmm. So, love to get into that stuff too. In that container, and we have, it's like a 5-month program, so there's more time and we talk more frequently, and it's, we get to work through all that stuff.
That's awesome. I love that you say that, actually, because that's my favorite thing about coaching with somebody, like being coached by people, me being able to like somewhat say my issue and then them literally usually just telling me the exact same words. Like a lot of times they're like barely altering the words, but it's just somebody else saying it out loud. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? And it's like, you know, light bulbs. But just hearing it from another person. And like I say, sometimes it doesn't even, they're not even changing the wording. It's just hearing it from somebody else can be huge. Yeah. And having that person bring these things into life or into light, sorry. Was my favorite part of coaching. So it's nice to hear that.
Well, it's like I think most of us know, like we have things, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? Where there's things that we're working on or that we want to try to achieve or things we want to try to change. And it's like, where do we start? Like, how do I, you know, how, and I think too, something I learned in the last little while is like this idea that we have that, like even me sharing my story with you, there was a lot of sickness in there, and there was a lot of hard times, and there was a lot of fear and scary things that happened. But I don't believe that we have to be in that place of my world is falling apart, I'm so sick, blah, 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 to just decide that we want to experience something different in our life. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, like we aren't happy with a relationship, or we do need a nutritional shift, but maybe we have some stuff going on about why we eat the foods we do. Or, you know, like it can just be this little voice inside that's saying, maybe there's something more, or mm-hmm. I really want something different. And that can be enough of a place to start.
Yes.
You know? So I can't remember where I heard that. That's not my thought. I'm totally stealing that. But it really landed with me that, like, yeah, you know what? We don't have to be super sick and super sad and mm-hmm. broke and all these things to just want to experience something different in our life. And that's what's been fun too about the coaching, is just like, okay, like, let's talk about what you want. Mm-hmm. Maybe just because it's fun, or, you know?
Yeah.
So we can work through the scarier, deeper, less pleasant stuff too. But there's also just this, like, what do we want life to look like?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been fun. And I'm excited about that.
That's yeah. That's great. Yeah. I've definitely been, doing lots of, kind of meditations on the subject of, yeah, it doesn't always have to be so dark and so gloomy and mm-hmm. stuff. And I realized that I've often thought, like, I'm not supposed to be successful, and I'm not supposed to be happy, yes, even, because my life has not been terrible. I mean, of course, like anybody, there's ups and downs, yeah. You know, and some hard times for sure. But I mean, I had a healthy childhood. I had, you know, like these things that other people that you see of that are at such high successes and happinesses than that, like, well, yeah, I take everything for granted because this horrible thing taught me that. Mm. Right. And if you, in my mind, I was like, well, I haven't had that horrible thing, so I'm not supposed to be happy.
Right.
And realizing that there is no comparing those things, mm. right? Like whatever has happened in my life, like that trauma, that is the worst in my spot, and it doesn't have to compare to someone else's, and I can still have happiness from that. So, it's an interesting, you know, every person could probably benefit from some coaching here or there. Doesn't matter where you are in your life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. I'm working with a coach right now too, and I love it. Like mm-hmm. I look forward to the calls. I take something away every time. And yeah, I actually, so we talk, you know, within the work that I do with her, and then in lots of other learning that I've been doing about these, like the limiting beliefs, right? The things that yeah. we, like, I'm not supposed to be successful, or I'm not supposed to be happy. A big one that I've been coming up with against a lot, just like seeing it with a lot of people lately, is like that work has to be really hard. Like if I'm going to make money, or I'm going to have to work so hard, and work is, you know, you have to really work at stuff to be successful. I'm like, where does that come from? Like, that is what we see, right? In the world around us most of the time. But I'm like, why does it have to be that way? Who says that actually? Yeah. Right? Like, what if work could actually just be an extension of us? And in that way, it's joyful. Yes. And we get to pour ourselves into our work as much as we do into our life, and it all gets to work together. I'm yes. like, that kind of sounds like more like what I want.
I was going to say, it sounds like you.
And I don't mind hard work. Like, that's okay. But I don't think that, you know, a career has to be hard work.
Yeah.
So I don't know, come back and see me 5 years. we'll see if it's all come to fruition or what's happened, but... that's one that I've been seeing. And then that shows up in other places too, right? That like, yes. what else has to be hard work? Relationships, money, health,
mm-hmm. right? That it's not always just in this one part of ourselves that it pops up. We usually see it in mm-hmm. in more than one. So it's neat to, like, just like you said, kind of build that awareness around
yes.
things that you notice, and then like just being curious. And I love the analogy of, like, a little kid with a magnifying glass looking at a bug. It's like, totally, yeah. right? If we were these little kids that didn't get into the comparisons and the judgment of everything, we'd just be like, oh, like, what is that?
Yes.
Right? And if yeah. we can sort of detach enough from, yeah, judgment is a big one for me, too. I call myself Judgy McJudgerson sometimes. But, yeah, if we can take that step back and just kind of see, like, well, where did that come from? How does that show up? Right? Then we can move with it and change it.
Yeah, I love learning from children.
Oh, they're like, so wise.
My boy is 4. Like, he's my favorite teacher of all times. And, like, yeah, when he gets upset, like, that is the worst. Like, when I have to turn off that TV or something like that.
Yeah, right?
Or when he has to eat some kind of vegetable and he's a really picky eater. That is the worst thing that he has happening in mm-hmm. his life in that moment. And his, you know, those tantrums and things, that's why they're having these tantrums, is because they don't realize, it doesn't register in their brain that things could be a heck of a lot worse. Really, yeah. kid? You know,
yeah.
they don't see it like that. They think of this as the worst thing. And when they are excited, when they get their birthday cake or something, like, they are over the top because that's the best thing best that's thing. Happened, right? So,
yeah.
They're our favorite teachers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're so wise. Yeah. And they just don't have the, there's like a no filter. This is just the way it is right now. Like, full, yeah. this is what I'm in, and you're going to know it. Because yes. that's just what it is.
Exactly.
Like, okay, here we go.
yes.
So if you have been following me for any length of time, you probably know my love for fresh juices and smoothies. Refresh Food and Drink is the hot spot in High River. They use organic ingredients for their beverages, and they also carry healthy lunch items, bone broths, kombucha on tap, elixir blends, healthy snacks, reverse osmosis water, and so much more. They either make these items in-house or source them out from other awesome local people. One of my favorite things that they offer are juice cleanses. This is an amazing way to detox your system while also giving your body all of the nutrition that we need for optimal thriving. Use the code ELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next juice cleanse. Thank you again so much to Refresh Food and Drink for keeping our community healthy and happy. If you are looking for a gift, fashions for the family, home decor, or some amazing handcrafted jewelry, Walker's General Store has you covered. Ask for Tammy and Susan, who both offer microcurrent protocols, and Tammy also does Rainer massage. You can check out their store online at walkersgeneralstore.ca, again, walkersgeneralstore.ca, shopping from the comfort of your own home while still supporting local. Use the code WALKERSELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next regular priced items. Praises to Walker's General Store for being a warm light in the High River community.
I think I always had a perception that these beliefs that we have, right, these subconscious beliefs, that they always came from something traumatic. Mm-hmm. So when I was looking at my life, I was like, well, I had a really great childhood. Like, I don't want to talk about subconscious beliefs or things that are limiting me that happened in childhood, because I had a great childhood. And then is there, like, am I putting bad things on my parents, which, you know, I love my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But, and sometimes they do come from those experiences, right? If there's something traumatic that happens. But sometimes it could be something as simple as, like, someone yelled no at you when you were 2 years old because you were going to step into a river of fast-moving water,
yeah.
right? And we get this, no, because they're trying to save us. But yeah. what we hear and what we perceive as that little person is, oh my gosh, I'm bad.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Wrong. Yeah. I'm wrong. Or something like that, right? And so we just kind of file that away and we carry on and mm-hmm. Those things come back up for us when we start to push into that, I guess, like uncertain waters or whatever it is, right? But
yeah, I definitely had this thought that like, oh, it has to, I didn't have trauma. So what are these things that are holding me back or, you know, showing up in my life? But it wasn't necessarily that. It's just little things that we pick up along the way. And then
the lessons they're traumas themselves, just learning the lesson of not stepping into the river,
right.
Yeah, a lot of lessons are traumas. I mean, when you stick your hand on that stove for the first time,
that's not.
I remember. I could still see the circles. I went right hand in, and that's definitely. Well, I mean, I was a little bit older, so I actually do remember.
So you remember?
But like, I know it was a trauma in my hand. Like, I can still see it when I look at my hand.
Totally.
Yeah. But I learned.
Yeah, I think. Too, just like that there's, I've found anyway, sort of like a negative stigma around like if you have limiting beliefs that that's a really bad thing or there's something wrong. And I'm like, no, like every person, we all do.
Yeah.
And what I've found is that it's also when those things start to like come up for us that we're actually in a place where we're ready to like step into something new for ourselves.
Absolutely.
So I've started when I'm working with my clients actually referring to them as like gateway beliefs. Like this is the gateway for you to move into something that you're looking for. Like you're right there.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably going to be scary. It's probably going to be a little bit hard. Maybe you're going to cry a bit, but once you like lean into that, like that's where it is. That's the thing that you're looking for is right there.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing to have these things that we're working.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Oh, that's such a good analogy. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you're right there, so don't stop because you're on the precipice.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So anyways, that's sort of, I guess, a bit of my philosophy when I'm working with people is to try and bring those things forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how many, like, and I mean, parents, at least usually, are just trying to do the best that they can with the with the situation, with the knowledge that they have at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, I already see that. I'm like, oh, 3 weeks ago, yeah, like I yelled at my son, no, or so, you know, something like that. I'm like, okay, so how can we heal this trauma now? Because I'm like, I never healed the traumas when I was younger. Like, what? How cool would it be if, like, you could be healing your traumas as you age? So that's what we're working on.
Well, yeah, that's what I know what you mean, being the parent and trying to, like, I don't know, set the boundaries and have the expectations and then also be so many times I'm like, oh, why did I say that? That's not what I want you to take away from this.
Yeah.
But sometimes in the moment, you're just in the moment. Like you said, there's no, we're all just doing our best. There's no like become a parent university, right? Like we just,
no,
you just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can all give ourselves some grace around that. We're doing our best.
Well, speaking of children, how do you teach your kids about wellness?
Well, I think I probably have bridged it more with my daughter. Well, just, I mean, we try to do we eat well and we try to exercise and we just kind of do those things. We're outside a lot. My husband has a business in town called Eat My Shrubs.
So
he does organic gardening and holistic land care. And so we're like sort of from the soil up, we try to care for ourselves and for our space and grow the food and do those things. So that's
beautiful.
Part of what we do, I guess, as a family. But in terms of some of like we're talking about beliefs and mindset a little bit with my daughter who's 9, I think I see more where I have to be more mindful of what I'm saying, how I'm reacting, and just even hearing stuff that like, you know, well, so-and-so is the coolest girl in the class, and oh, I want to look like so-and-so, or why don't people treat or talk to me the way they talk to her, or, you know, and I see, like, comparison was such a, was slash continues, right, like, ever-evolving for
well,
me.
Well, and it's the age for that, too.
Right, and
yeah,
so
kind of
trying to instill those, like, yeah, the belief in self and the whole uniqueness of our persons. I do use oils with my kids a lot. They mm-hmm. really help to like shift how we're feeling. And so if we're having like an upset moment or someone is sad or scared, that's usually one of the first things I do is, what oil do you want right now? Let's grab it and we'll take some breaths.
Yeah.
And it just shifts things so quickly in terms of, then we can be in a place where we can talk about what's going on. I think it's probably where I put most of my focus right now, actually, is in terms of like, what kind of things am I trying to impart with my children? I just see it coming up more, like more opportunities anyway, I guess, with my daughter who's 9, and I'm sure it will continue in the years to come.
Yes.
She's like, she's soft hearted, but she's also very independent and like strong willed. So I have 2 Taurus babies and they can both be very stubborn. So yeah, it's fun. It's an adventure trying to. You have a 4-year-old, you said?
4, yeah.
How do you teach wellness, or like these sort of things to him? How do you share that? I'd love to hear.
Well, oils for sure, yes. Like, even if it's just that he got a bump or something, you know?
Yeah.
And the emotions of something like that, or the actual, if there's, you know, a bruise or a cut or whatever. And he actually, he picks his own oils and he knows what colors are for what thing. It's not like he can really read the words, but he knows what color is for which one.
Yeah.
And then like he often picks the oils that we put in the diffuser. I'm like, okay, it's your turn to pick. And he just like, so he has no idea what those ones. He has no, like his own oils, he knows the colors to do certain things.
Yeah.
But when I pull out my oils, he just like picks them at random and they turn out so awesome sometimes. Like, how would I never think of this
how
blend?
How did we recreate this?
Yeah.
Totally.
So, he helps with the products that I make and sell too in that way sometimes.
Yeah.
And we also like, we do meditation together. We do yoga together. We, we're outside as much as, much as we can and things like that. And I think for kids, it's a lot of, it's different with each kid, just like it's different with each of us, right? I mean, like, yeah, he's a really picky eater. I would love for us to be focused on nutrition more, but I know that it's like, when we try, it's headaches and it's frustrations and it's not, it's then turning something that's supposed to be a healthy thing into a non-healthy thing.
Yeah.
So realizing that and then, you know, picking and choosing different little things to aid in that. I don't have a lot of like rules in my house because, well, life is messy, and as much as I would love to say that, you know, everything is black and white, life is not black and white. So you can't, you know.
Yeah.
So I try to do like little things of like, he has to try one bite of everything or, you know, something like that. But if it's going to be a massive fight every night to do it, okay, well, then we'll stop that for a week or two, and then you'll get excited about it again, right? So it's those little things that, and I mean, their minds can only comprehend so much at each time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not studying nutrition.
No.
They're not understanding what that's going to do for their body. Their body is very healthy right at this time, so they're not caring about that stuff.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think just making sure that you're really understanding the person, which I think the meditation has helped with that. Like sitting down and doing meditations together, even though you're not speaking verbally, your bodies are speaking to each other. You're feeding off of each other's energies and you're getting to know each other in a different way. And a more emotional and deeper connection.
Yeah.
So, and he's also able to communicate more being 4, but, when we started doing the meditations, that's when his communication with me got better. Like, then he could tell me what was wrong. Right. Which is, again, his mind is developing more to be able to express what's wrong in a better way. Yeah, we're able to, like, okay, something's bothering you. Let's go sit down and meditate for a few minutes. And then you can tell me what's wrong.
Oh, I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's not like he's like, yes, every time. But you do it enough times and he sees the benefit of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times he's, are we going to meditate today, Mama? Like, yeah, we are.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I've like formally bridged meditation with the kids, but breath is definitely something that we talk about, you know, and more so again with my daughter, because it, I think we've done it enough that she understands that it helps, right? Like she's like,
exactly,
yeah. I know that this helps me to feel better. So yes, let's do that right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to be, I might have to talk to you again about how you engage your children in their meditation practice, or your child, I should say, because yeah, we haven't really done that much, although I know it's something I would love for them to experience. Sometimes I feel, and I don't know if you ever feel this way, my children learn better from other people than me.
Yeah, I'm not like with all of the, like with COVID and everything, and I've seen that a lot with people, and yeah, it's not like the old days where you would just homeschool kids all the time. Like it's I know that I am not going to be able to teach my son a lot of the things that you would learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I paid other people to do that for me, because I want the best for him, and I know that I am not the best, and that is okay.
Yeah.
But it's the things that I do and I think do well, I'm like, okay, well, that I can teach, right? So the other things I just kind of help and try to aid when I can. So how do you keep yourself motivated to do all of these fun things and coach all these beautiful people?
Well, I've pretty much been working, pretty much part-time, because I am also mom, right? And that's always kind of been the priority, is that while my kids were home when they were young, I would be home with them.
Yeah.
So, prior to COVID, a lot of the work that I did was actually in schools. I would go in and work with, I have a long background in, with volleyball and in athletics. When I was a teacher, I was a phys ed teacher. So I would go back into the phys ed and the sports performance programs, and I would work with the student athletes and stuff. So that was like pre-COVID. But now that COVID had arrived, it sort of allowed me to shift things so I can even work more from home. Right? Yeah. Which is a nice little blessing in disguise. And with kids at school, usually I would, you know, do my work while they were at school and then try to be around as much. And then also do things that I want to do for me in terms of that wellness piece, right? So I have a meditation practice in the morning. I usually walk my daughter to school, and then I'll either continue and go for a walk or a run, which is also like a favorite part of my day. I like to play music when I'm at home. I like to read. Nice. These all sound, I don't know if this is very exciting. I like to do. But no, those are things that I've sort of
found the little tools that work for you.
Yeah, they really do. And they add like enjoyment. Right? Not that I don't enjoy being a mom and I love my work, but there's always going to be things in our days that are like the stuff that we have to do, right? That we need to get done. And it may not be our favorite things, but I try to fill my days with as many things every day that like light me up. Mm-hmm. So my stuff, like my meditation, my walk or my run, my journaling time, my creative time, whatever that is. Some days I really love cooking. Other days I'm like, I do not want to cook. Yeah. Like, even though I love nutrition and all that stuff, like some days I just don't want to cook. So I try to, that's been a big piece for me in terms of like just staying well, staying motivated, is just like, what are the things I love to do? And I'm going to try to do as many of those every day as I can. Because if I'm happy, then I'm in a way better space to do all the things, right? And be there for my clients and be there for my family and all that.
If you're coaching your clients to do or suggesting to them to do certain things, you should probably do it yourself.
Probably. Well, the things that I believe in, right, that offer value, I they're part of what I
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason that they've offered value.
Yeah, absolutely. Not sure if I totally answered that question, but that's sort of what, that's sort of what came out. So,
it's motivation is a weird thing because it's
it's one of those individual things too, right?
Yeah,
and I think it changes. Like there are right? Like some days you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do all the things and I'm gonna lift all the weights and I'm gonna, you know, eat all the food. And other days, you know, I think one thing for women especially is like honoring just where we're at in our cycle. Because that has such an impact on just how we feel. And we don't need to beat ourselves up about it. Right? Like, this is, it's a gift. It is.
Yes. We grew up thinking it's a shameful thing that we should not want.
Yeah.
And turns out it's the opposite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one way that I've been able to take actually a lot of pressure off myself is just, you know, on the days when I'm like, just having a day, right? Like, tired or maybe more emotional, and then thinking to myself, okay, well, where are we at here in the, what's happening with the moon, what's happening with me? Okay, it's okay. Like, this doesn't mean anything about me. This is just, things are moving and that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah,
right. So that's been just understanding more about that and recognizing that has been in terms of motivation, because some days you just
when you can at least understand, like, oh, this might have something to do with my cycle, or like the moon and things like that, that it's easier to find the motivation rather than just feeling stuck and not knowing why. So when you can start being more aware of those whys, then you can alter them a little. So are you excited for the full moon coming up, the eclipse?
Funny you say that. I actually hadn't looked. I was on my list to do, not my list. I'm trying to get away from lists so much because they're all of the things that I feel like I should be doing when I just want to sort of want things to feel more easy, right? Let's do the things that we get to do. But anyways, speaking of cycles, the last couple of days I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Some different energy happening. You mentioned that and I'm like, oh, right. Yes. Okay. Yes, that is exciting. So I mentioned I was doing a lot of consulting, a lot of educating and stuff in the schools.
Yeah.
And loving it. But every once in a while, especially on my days when I would teach like 5 yoga classes, and in that doing a lot of the class with them, right? Because they needed the physical demonstration and all of that.
Yeah.
Coming home and just being like, oh, I'm kind of feeling tired. I don't know if I want to keep doing... But it was there, right? It was there. There was income there.
Yeah.
It was easy. And then COVID hit and that was like, nope, can't go into the schools at all, right?
Just, yeah.
But the way that it has allowed my business to evolve is pretty much exactly what I was looking for. I just didn't really know that it was possible, right? But it's just like opened that all up.
Well, and like you said, when you're not in the school, and well, you don't have a, I mean, of course choices are still there, but it makes choices a lot easier when one is taken away.
Yeah. That's true. Just like, here, little nudge.
Yeah.
Or a big nudge, maybe that was. Yeah. I don't know. That was kind of a, still crazy.
So you were teaching yoga in schools?
Yeah, when I did my certification in 2010 and basically finished that and then went right into the holistic nutrition training. All my contacts were teachers and mostly in phys ed programs. And so when I was done, I was teaching in a couple places around here, but mostly it was the teachers were like, we need a yoga instructor. Can you come in? I was like, yeah,
that's
for sure.
Cool.
So yeah, and because, like I said, because of my background in, like, youth sport, I did a lot with, like, I worked with a volleyball club for a long time, so stuff through them, stuff with other volleyball programs that I worked with. So, yeah, it was fun. I actually way more enjoyed working with those guys than actually in, like, a formal studio setting.
Yeah.
It was just, well, I was always more comfortable teaching
kids. Yeah. That's just like, that was the first career that I had, right? So it was just a, yeah, it was fun.
Now, do you coach many younger people?
In terms of like the wellness, the lifestyle coaching?
Yeah.
No, it was more focused just in like the consulting thing, the work that I did in the school. So I'd go in for like a class or two and kind of work with, help them understand, especially for student athletes, like their needs are actually quite high and most of them don't get what they need.
Yeah.
So it was sort of my focus to be like, look, like if you have these big, awesome goals to be this like high performing athlete in university or beyond. And like the hard, honest truth is that if you can't eat good food, you're not going to make it. You're going to get hurt. You're going to burn out or whatever. So anyway, that was a big passion of mine, but I never really, and again, perhaps I just hadn't seen that mm-hmm. part of it yet. I hadn't done anything more with it.
Right.
I was feeling a little bit ready to just kind of take a step back from the, I think I spent a lot of time in the youth sport arena mm-hmm. in general, which has amazing value. I grew up as a student athlete. I loved it, but it's also can be a challenging place to spend time in. And I'd been in it for a long time. So it felt good to just kind of take a step back from that and sort of move my coaching in a little bit of a different direction.
Yeah.
And I may go back. I'm actually, I can't believe I'm going to say this because it like puts the, okay, now I have to know. I started at the beginning of COVID, like putting a program together for student athletes in terms of like wellness and nutrition and mindfulness and sort of that whole piece that I felt like a lot of youth sport programs, they just don't have time to do it, right? Everything is so busy. But then I started building this. I was like, I don't know if it's a workbook or an ebook or if it's part of a program or what but I just was putting all this content out in writing. And then I just kind of stopped. I was like, well, it just didn't feel right anymore. And then only recently I've come back to it with the piece that I felt like was like, okay, now I know what I wanted this other element to be, which is just like an attitude of abundance and appreciation and gratitude within that sphere. And so now that I've said that, I better get back to finishing it because I keep talking about it. Yeah. So.
Is there anything else you would like to touch on?
I don't think so. I just want to thank you because my first podcast experience was just really fun.
Yeah.
It's been nice getting to know you.
Yes. So you talked about a few things that you do, but what is one thing you do every day that you think benefits your wellness?
I try to remember that I get to choose how I am feeling, what I am thinking. It doesn't always. I don't know if it always happens.
That's okay. I love that.
But
the
I make a conscious effort every day. We talked a little bit about just feeling more joy, right? Doing the things that I love to do so I can feel more joy. Like, really, I think I just want to live a joyful life, a joyful, abundant life. And a lot of that depends on how I decide to see things.
Yes.
And so I would say that, especially recently, as my own growth shifts and all that kind of stuff, that it's a remembering that I always have the choice. Mm-hmm. It may not always seem like it, but I do. So if I can step back long enough to be like, oh yeah, remember, you get to decide. Oh yeah, okay. I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
That's okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Just really appreciate the time and the opportunity to sit with you.
Yeah. No, this was awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Cool.
Where can everybody find you?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on
Instagram as DJ Wellness. My brother was like, DJ Wellness. It's like a musical thing. I'm like, no, it's like my initials. But whatever. Diane Johnson on Facebook, or my business page is DJ Wellness on Facebook. And my website is djwellnessconsulting.com.
Perfect.
I think that's about it.
Excellent. And you can find myself on Facebook and Instagram at The Answer is Elephant, as well as at carlaturner.wellnessadvocate. And the website is carlaturner.ca. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Since recording this episode, Diane has launched a new program within her coaching. This is a 12-month healing journey for those with digestive dis-ease. This is an amazing way to reset your systems while also getting the coaching aspects that are so tied in with dietary issues. I highly suggest going to her website and checking that new program out, as well as her other programs that she offers as well. Thank you again so much. Have a blessed day, and let's get well together.